And welcome back to the Modern Wrong World Made Right. Calvin Was Wrong, episode number 9. I'm your host and moderator, Mike Church. We have about 7 minutes in this final episode here with our Latinist expert, Ryan Grant. He, the publisher of De Controversiis on the Roman Pontiff, volumes 1 and 2. And, of course, volume 3 is available as well in the Founders Trading Post at mikechurch.com/shop. And if you're looking for all the myriad of books and works that Ryan has translated over the years, use his website. Go to Mediatrix, M-E-D-I-A-T-R-I-X, Press, MediatrixPress.com, and you will find all of them there. All right, we are now in chapter 15 of the second book, and this has the subheading, that the Roman Pontiff succeeds Peter in ecclesiastical monarchy is proved from the Greek fathers. Now, that's a double whammy there, because not only are you proving it from the tradition of the fathers of the Holy Roman Church, you're proving it from the tradition that still exists today of the Eastern Orthodox Church and of the Greek fathers. So this has got to be one of the stronger arguments, I would imagine.
It is, at the very least it should be. Now, the Eastern Orthodox will stop and they'll say, well, you know, what they meant back then, you know, it's basically that word. I don't think it means what you think it means. it's what it comes to.
My name is Amigo Montoya.
You know, if those who read these testimonies necessarily agree with that.
But, right.
So Bellarmine starts, notes that there's only three objections they make, that the early Protestants to from the fathers. So we're going to start, Bellarmine decides to start off basically just giving all their quotes because nobody, again, questions that, you know, these are authentic people that actually lived and were actually there. So this starts with St. Ignatius of Antioch, who was, trained by the apostles, taught by the apostles, and in his epistle to the Romans, he says, Ignatius to the Holy Church, which presides in the region of the Romans. Why is the church said to be presiding except because it is the head of all others? Now, there's one where, you know, certainly the Eastern Orthodox jump in, oh, that's kind of species. That's kind of, you know, it could just mean that it's presiding in Rome, except that term, the way it is in Greek, actually refers to the whole of the Roman Empire. So, and which itself is a symbol of the world if you're a Roman, right? Much like, you know, if you're an American, then, well, you think of the world in American terms, like you see all these little things, the world according to Americans, and you see other countries, you know, say India, it says call centers, and Middle East will say oil or war or whatever, and Japan will say sushi, and China, the factory, you know, things
that's
like that.
Right, that's but, right.
It's not too far for how it was for Romans when you said the world, well, for them, that's, we're the world. Where all that counts. So just in terms of language, that, but it's one of those red herrings. So let's go to the next one. St. Irenaeus is much more clear about it. And he's about 180 AD. The Church of Rome, of the greatest antiquity and recognized by all, founded and constituted by the two most glorious apostles, Peter and Paul, that which has tradition from the apostles and heralding the faith to all through successions of bishops, attaining even to us. And it was one thing to note, too, that Irenaeus is always, you know, showing the truth of the church against the Gnostics by the linkage with the apostles. But anyway, we confound those men who reveal that they gather the tradition contrary to what is fitting by any manner or through their wicked charm or vainglory. Or through blindness and wicked knowledge. It is necessary for every church to agree with this church on account of a mightier principality. This is those who are faithful on every side, and which always by these among whom this has been preserved in every way, which is the tradition from the apostles. Right, so then Bellarmine notes up the obvious fact here in that quote. Mark that phrase, it is necessary in for every church to agree, and also on account of a mightier preeminence, as well as in which the apostolic tradition has always been preserved for all. Right? And that's what the Latin says. So for Irenaeus, then, you know, so I put a very lengthy footnote here, which is from Cardinal Franzlin in his work on tradition, which I'm hoping will be published this year. We'll see. I was hoping last year, too, but got some more editing to do on that. The but he deals with all the scholars in his time on what the Greek words might have been and what the meaning might be as he goes through different things. It's really interesting discussion, which will take us a bit of field here. So anyway, so Bellarmine then, you know, continues. Irenaeus proves that he can confound all heretics from the doctrine of the Roman Church, because it is necessary for every church to agree with this church, and by it, just as by a head and font, the church depends. And hence it is necessary that its doctrine is apostolic and true. He proves the fact that all Christians necessarily rest upon the Roman Church. So, and then he adds some more logical qualifications. In the first place, a priori, because the rule was given to this church. And secondly, a posteriori, because insofar as all always preserved the faith in this church, that is, in union and adhesion to the church, as into the head, as to a head into a mother. And so there's two ways in which that, you know, and of course that's one of the earliest ones from Irenaeus. You know, you're in the second century, so we're still a period of persecution, still pre-Constantine, still, you know, Constantine's grandfather's not in diapers yet. So we're we're still a ways off.
This is early on.
Very early on. And then, so then he gives some others. Now, St. Epiphanius is 300, so he's a little later, during the Arian crisis. St. Epiphanius says, Ursacius and Valens doing penance, together with little books professed to St. Julius, the Bishop of Rome, so as to be restored from their error and crime. He's quoting a fragment there. And then Bellarmine adds, certainly they were bishops. Therefore, why did they seek forgiveness from the Roman pontiff, if the Roman pontiff were not also the judge and head of bishops? The fourth is Athanasius. In his second apology, he witnesses certain bishops sought forgiveness for their crime from St. Julius I. And in his epistle to Pope Felix, he says, St. Athanasius says, on account of that, you and your predecessors are clearly protectors, right? In the Latin, it comes as praesules. And God constituted in the capital of the highest summit, and commanded to have care over every church that you should come to our aid. And lastly, in his book on the opinions of Dionysius of Alexandria, he says, certain men from the church thinking correctly, but were ignorant of that case. That is why, since it stood thus, it was written by him that they should go up to Rome. And there they accused Dionysius before the prelate at Rome. This is actually treated a little more fully in On the Marks of the Church, but Bellarmine's work on that by that title. But anyway, he goes, why, I ask, is Dionysius the Patriarch accused by good men in the presence of the Roman Pontiff, except because they knew the Roman Pontiff is the common judge of all?
So this is...
So this is, you know, again, to the St. Athanasius, right?
Right.
the father of Orthodoxy, pretty much the bedrock of, Eastern Christian... You know, thought of one of those really early fathers that really matters. And it keeps going. Basil the Great, Gregory Nazianzen, St. John Chrysostom. Okay, the Chrysostom, who was only brought to prominence and canonized because of the Pope. And the Orthodox wanted nothing to do with him because the emperors spit on his name. It was only the popes putting him back into, restoring him and making holy his memory in Rome that they were kind of, you know, forced to include him.
Hey, Ryan, can you hold that thought? Folks, that's about all the time we have for this edition here. We'll have to pick this up on the other side. It's the Modern Wrong World Made Right. Go to Ryan's website at mediatricspress.com. And our website is veritasradionetwork.com. Until next time, we'll see you again real soon for Calvin Was Wrong, Episode 11.